In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. What a beautiful day from beginning to end. Beginning of the day till the end of the day. I know it's action-packed. The morning, the first hour was a weird hour because the center of the hour was Judas. And we even did a procession around the church for him. And it was like, Judas, Judas, you broke the law. And you got to know that he's kind of the center of the attention tonight as well. So we got to figure out what to learn from him. Even in tonight's reading, in the first hour of the eve of Friday, from Jeremiah 8, listen to this. Why is no healing taking place for the daughter of my people? Falsehood, not faith, prevails in the land. Their tongues learn to speak lies. Again, the prophecy is talking about Judas, about there's falsehood. It's not really faith. Their tongue is speaking lies. So we know it's about him. Even tonight, again, the ninth hour, listen to this from Jeremiah chapter 9. Their tongue is a wounding arrow, and the words of their mouth are deceitful. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor, but has hatred in his heart. So I'm kind to my neighbor, but in my heart I hate you. And that's kind of what, again, Judas, you saw the story of Judas today. He's saying one thing, but he's doing something else. And there's like something inside. The words are not matching the heart. Even in the sixth hour of the Holy Thursday this morning in Sirach 12, we always say we love the book of Sirach. Listen to this. Tell me what you think about this. Does this match also? An enemy speaks sweetly with his lips, but in his heart, he'll plan to throw you in a pit. So lips are saying something very sweet. In the heart, it's saying something different. In the gospel of tonight, the ninth hour, what does Judas do? When he comes up to Jesus in the ninth hour, what does he do? He gives him a what? He gives him a kiss. But do you know what he said right before he gave him a kiss? Anybody know what he said? He said, Rabbi. What does Rabbi mean? So he's saying, teacher, give him a kiss, but what's happening in the background? Just like us. What do we say out loud? What do we do in front of people? But here, it's not matching for Judas. His words, his actions, but here's the kicker of it all. What's happening inside this man? Something is boiling inside of Judas. Something is eating away inside of him. Something is building inside, but outside, sweet words. Outside, kisses. Outside, I'm the best. But inside, something was haunting Judas for many years. For many years, something was haunting him from the inside. And here's the problem. And I want you to pay attention to this because it's going to link to us in a second. He didn't deal with it properly. He had something inside of him, like we do, but he didn't deal with it properly. Let me ask you a question. I want you to be honest to yourself. Can you say everything that you're thinking? Can you say everything that you're thinking? Okay, think about that for a second. Let me ask you another question. Do you have something inside of you that's troubling you that you want to get out? Think about that for a second. Is there something inside of you that's troubling you and you're just holding it and it's burning and it's troubling you from the inside? Let me ask you another thing. Is there something inside your life, your family, your work, whatever, that's making you angry? Is something inside boiling, making you angry? Is something making you feel shameful? Maybe you've done inside, you feel shame, you feel guilt on the inside. Here's the problem. That's exactly how Judas started. In the inside, boiling, shame, guilt, anger. What are you doing? And it was all on the inside, but the outside was okay in the beginning. But it came to the forefront tonight. I want you to open with you. Let's open together the epistle to St. James, chapter 1. I want you to see what happens when things start in the inside and they're small and we say, oh, what's the big deal? Let me just hold it in. But let's see what happens when something is on the inside. Look at James 1:14. Let's be there all together. James 1:14 says this. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Something on the inside is enticing us. Something on the inside is desire. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth what? Brings forth death. So what is it trying to say? It's something small. It's burning you. It's troubling you. It's anger. It's a frustration. It's a shame. It's a guilt. It's a whatever. It's whatever is really inside, like Judas had. Outside, smiles. Inside, it's growing, growing, growing. It was eating away at Judas, and he never addressed it. He never addressed it. It just kept bothering him, kept growing. And as we all do, he had to uphold an image. So what did he do? For years, he faked it on the outside for some time. Sound familiar? We have the same. We have anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred, shame, guilt, worry, and we don't deal with it sometimes. We don't deal with it sometimes. And you saw what happened to Judas. We saw Judas is the worst. He broke the law. But when things grow inside, when they're full grown, oh man, we become a different person. But right now, we have an image to uphold. People think of me as a priest, you as a Christian, you as whatever at work. People see you in a certain image. So I want to tell you about three different images. And I want you to tell me what you think about this. There's a perceived image. What's a perceived image? It's what people think of you and think of me. It's their perception. That's a perceived image. There's a projected image. What's projected? It's what you want them to see. You see the difference? Perceived one is what they see of you. Projected is what you want them to see. What you want to tell them. It's what you want people to see about you. And the third one, which is the most important one, which is hard to find, is the actual image. You have an actual image. I have an actual image. A real, the real person, the real you. You're the real me. But here's the problem. Which one of those three get most of the attention? What do you think? Probably the perceived and projected. People perceive you to be a certain way. When they see you and they say you're a doctor, or you're a priest, or you're a kind person, or you're humble, or you are whatever. And when people say that, what do? You start to do what? More of that. Okay, let me show them more of that. You project more of it, right? I do that too, right? But the whole point is, Judas had it too. Let's think about Judas. What was he perceived as? Not later in the game, early in the game. He was a what? He's a disciple. He's in charge of what? He's in charge of money. He's very faithful. Why would someone be in charge of money if he wasn't faithful? Oh, Judas, people's perception of him, he's very trustworthy. He's one of the 12 disciples. So what did he project? He projected that. Hey, Rabbi, anything you need? We're coming low on funds. Here, anything you need, we'll take care of that. So he projected what people perceived. But you know what was the actual for Judas? What was the actual? How do you know what the actual was? You can get it yesterday with Mary and the ointment and anointed Jesus. What did he say? What was the real one? What are you doing? Jesus, we need money. We didn't eat yesterday. We need that money. What are you doing? That could be for the poor. Now he's projecting again. That could be for the poor. So Judas is confused too. But the real Judas is coming out too. You can start to see him, his anger inside, his frustration with Jesus inside, starting to come out. He didn't deal with it properly. Again, let me ask you a question. What was Jesus mad about the most with the Pharisees? What was he angry about? In the whole chapter, Matthew 23, the whole chapter is talking about how angry Jesus is. What was he mad about specifically? Hypocrisy, which is what? Is that I have this image on the outside, you, me, the Pharisees, Judas, we have this image to uphold. But on the inside, tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. There's something inside that's burning, that's there, that's shameful, that's the truth. But we put it to the side because we have an image. People see me as somebody important. But I want to tell you, do you know why this day was so important for all of us? What happened this morning? Two big things happened. To help us to what? Clean the image. To help the image to be purified. We had liturgy of water and liturgy of the Eucharist. You know why we did that? Because And why we're talking about Judas, and we've got liturgy water and liturgy Eucharist. Why are all these things in the same day? It's because something on the inside, in you and me, needs to be addressed. And I'm telling you, if you leave it, it blows up later. I'm telling you, let's deal with it. That's what this Holy Week is about. Dealing with the real me, the real you. Don't hide it. Don't cover it. Let's get it out. Let's say, God, work on it. God, clean it. Liturgy, water, clean it. Wash it. Help me with it, God. Get it out. But don't throw it away and hide it. The readings today in the Liturgy of Water were so amazing. Do you remember what it says? Let me remind you from Ezekiel, my favorite reading of the Liturgy of the Water when we're praying on the water. Ezekiel 36 says this, I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be cleansed from all your uncleanness, and I will clean you from all your idols. Imagine what he wants to go inside. Listen to this. I shall give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I shall take the heart of stone. That's the stuff inside. I'll take the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I shall put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my requirements, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Guys, he says, I shall. You know what he's saying to you this week and me? I want to go in there, and I want to do some surgery, and I want to go in there deep, and I know that thing's been bothering you. I know you're ashamed about that. I know that's frustrating you. I know. You keep covering it up. You keep trying to project something different and not addressing it. We got to address it. That's what this whole week is about, addressing the inside, the real me. And that's what the Holy Week has been about. But there's one problem. There's one big problem in this whole story. Is God will not force his way in. We have to open up. I'm going to read you a verse from today's Liturgy of the Eucharist that I never preach about. And I don't like to preach about, but I'm going to preach about today. And honestly, when I read it to you, you're going to say, Abuna, why did you have to say that one? If you want to open with me, you can. It's 1 Corinthians 11. It was from today's Liturgy of the Eucharist this morning, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Oh, man. I can't take communion if I did something, the hidden, and I'm guilty. So what's the... I want to thank you for telling me I'll never take communion again. That's not what I'm saying. Let's go to the next verse, next part. This is the key, please. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The goal is God wants us to eat of the bread and the wine, the body and blood. Why? So we can clean what's that virus inside of us, that poison inside of us. But here, there's one key. He's not going to force himself. He wants you and me to do one thing. Examine. God, here's what's bothering me. Judas couldn't do that. Judas didn't examine. He didn't say, here's what's frustrating me about you, God. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with this person. I'm frustrated with my situation, my financial situation. I'm frustrated with my marriage. I'm frustrated. Examine it. Get it out. God wants us to take communion, but he wants us to take it with getting that junk out so he can work on it. Guys, if we haven't gotten to this part in the Holy Week and we didn't address what's inside, then tomorrow's event will have no purpose. And then the resurrection will have no purpose unless today, tonight, all of us examine what's the real thing inside. Because we want God to take it out. Because you know what's really happening? Can I be honest with you? It's torturing us. It's frustrating us. I'm frustrated, you're frustrated. That thing inside. And we just try to have a good, we try to smile and just make it go by. Can't. We need to examine it, confess it, present it, and God will heal it. That's the point of this week. So your image, I know your image is important. I mean, for goodness sake, the priest has to have a good image. How hard it is for the priest to be, and then the priest family, we have to. But it's the inside. All week I've been saying, God, You know, and it's really, here's the truth. It's not what people say about you or what you say about you. It's what's really you. Let me say it again. What do people say about you? Oh, he's the best and she's the best and they do that and that. Okay, thank you. It's not what you say about you. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. It's what's really you. And I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. I'm saying that so we can present it to God. Say, God, here it is. This is the virus. This is what's been killing me. This is what's my pain point. This is what I'm going to give to you this week. I need your help. Because I don't want to turn out like Judas, where it's boiling, 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 exploded. He did something crazy. So we got to make sure we don't just cover up our image. Let me ask you a question on a lighter note. What do you do in your home if you're told in 5 minutes you have special guests coming over? What do you do? Tell me some ideas. What do you do? 5 minutes, special guests come over. What do you do? How do you clean up? Okay, just give me like, so do some dishes. Fast. So what do you do? That's what I do. Kids, all these shoes, throw them in the closet. And like, take all this stuff. Take it upstairs quickly, right? What do we do when people come over and they're coming over by surprise and we just, right? You try to spray some spray. Get them clean really quickly. I'm telling you guys, we all do that. Come on, guys. We all do that. We all do that. We try to cover up and we try to throw stuff in the closet. If you don't, I mean, come on. I'm going to open your closet when you come. Open my closet. You're going to find a whole bunch of shoes everywhere. But that's really what it is. We're so worried about our image. But what's the real us? What's the real you? And you're probably going to say to yourself this question, because I had this question, but it got answered tonight. How do I know? How do I know what it is? Yeah, I want to examine. God, show me. I don't want things to eat away at me. What is it? Well, the goodness is tonight, in the first hour, there was a John, remember John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, if you came early enough, the first hour was a beautiful, beautiful passages, but there was one that said this, talking about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all the, fill in the blank. He will guide you into all the, who's got it? What's the Holy Spirit? He's there to convict you, guide you. It says here, he'll guide you to all the truth. So you ask the question, okay, what is it? Maybe it's something I don't know. Maybe it's something you do know. But either way, we can't make an excuse that I don't know. Because the Holy Spirit clearly is going to do something to you and to me. He's going to tell you the truth. I don't want to hear the truth. I like my image. You like your image. In front of each other, we look so great. We look so wonderful. But inside, there's something that we have to reveal. And remember today also, in one of the readings in the ninth hour of Thursday, it says in Isaiah 61, I'm coming to heal the brokenhearted, freedom to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. So God is coming to heal and repair and fix the inside. So what do we got to do? We got to give it to him. We got to examine, we got to present it, and we ask, Holy Spirit, show me where. Remember the three images? I want to remind you. What's perceived image? Perceived image is what people think of you. What's projected image? Who remembers? It's what you want people to think of you. And then there's the actual. So I'm going to end my thing today by telling you something I discovered this week. My confession about something I'm doing that I've been projecting to you all. And I'm going to tell you my confession. Now, when a priest says that, usually your ears, your eyes are wide open. A Buddha's going to confess. We're going to know the truth about him. Here it is. There's lots of bad things, but I'm just going to tell you one of them. I love you guys, but sometimes I'm afraid to tell you the truth about you because I'm afraid to hurt your feelings. And I'm afraid that you will look at me in a bad way. I want to tell you something in love, but I'm afraid to tell you because I have an image that I want you to like me. I want you to love me. I want you to say Abuna is a great priest. But I want to tell you something sometimes. And I'm sure you want to tell me. But I think that I'm holding it in sometimes because I want to help you and I want to say something. But I don't want to hurt your feelings. Because if I hurt your feelings, Abuna's. So that's my confession, is that I'm afraid. So I'm projecting to you a certain way, but not telling you the truth. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to shout at you. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I hope you can take it lovingly. And I hope you can take it. But for me, it's a fear that I have an image. I don't want you to hate me. I don't want you to think of me any less. So that's what something a couple days ago, I even confessed it to my confession father. I was like, I can't keep doing that. Maybe, guys, we need to examine ourselves. Maybe we need to find out on the inside what's the truth. You know, has this ever happened to you? You fight with your spouse or your children, and people come over, and what do you do when they come in that door? What do? We smile. Say, everything is great. We are a perfect marriage. We are the best family. We are a good Christian home. And very clean, as you can see. I'm not saying you have to reveal the truth to everyone, but you better reveal it to someone. Definitely to him. Definitely to a priest, confession father. But don't hold it in anymore. It's going to eat away at you. Whatever it is that you're hiding and I'm hiding, it's going to eat away. It's going to eat away. It's going to get more frustration. You're going to blow up, and you might do something that you're going to regret, like happened today. Guys, we're created in a beautiful, 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 beautiful God's image. Beautiful. It got distorted. It got distorted. The sin came in. Whatever's in. The last verse I'm going to read to you is something I love from today, Job chapter 27, verse 5. Job 27, 5 says this, until the day I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. I hold fast to my righteousness, and I'm not letting it go. I want that integrity. I want the real me. I want God to clean me so I can be authentic and real. And I want to go from me to be like him. And that's the goal of this week. But the problem is, there's one thing in your way. It was in the way of the Pharisees. It was in the way of Judas. It's our image. You have an image to uphold at work, at school, at home, at church, wherever. But I'm telling you, don't let the inside burn and keep burning and burning and troubling. It's time to examine it, to get it out, and God is going to wash it like he did today. God's going to heal it. That's his job. That's why tomorrow on the cross, that's what he's here for. But you and me have to hold on to integrity, to be real, to be a real us. It's a beautiful story, guys. Lord came to wash so I can be the real me, so I can become the real follower of Christ. Don't you want to be a real follower? You can't be a real follower of Christ. You can't be his disciple unless you get to the root, who you really are and what's hurting you, and get it out and get it healed and get it helped and get it fixed, confess it, admit it, and God is going to do his work. That's why we're here this week. So if you come to the end of the week and you're just saying, thine is the power, the glory, and we're just singing a lot of songs and we, you know, take some water, it was great. No. And by tomorrow, you got to give it to him. So the question is, what's inside? What is it for you? What is it? Let's pray the rest of our week and the weekend so we can really get to Christ is risen. I don't want death. I don't want the inside to continue to be lies and who I'm not really. Projected image, I'm done with. Hope you're done with it. Perceived image, can't control that. People can say what they want about you. But projected image, I'm going to be me. And I'm going to try to work on me. And I'm going to be me. And you be you. And let's be the real us so we can become like him. And if we're just fake, we're never going to address the problem. We're just going to put it under the dust under the carpet. We're going to throw the stuff in the closet, and we're just going to pretend everything is fine, but it's not fine. So that's what we're going to do tonight, tomorrow, until, say, Christ is risen, and onward. Let's pray for each other for that. Can we do that? Let's pray for each other, but don't leave that stuff inside. Okay, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the congregation. Let's pray for those who are listening in Arlington, and I know they're praying for us, and glory be to God forever. Amen.